anyone who has accompanied a woman giving birth, or who has given birth herself, knows that contractions, or birth pangs as they are called in this lesson, cannot be controlled. All that can be done is to let them run their course. In many places these days, there are medications that help relieve the pain, but no baby is born until it is ready. And no one can really predict when that will be, unless it's a scheduled C-section. In the same way, we have to ride out the pain of wars, earthquakes, famines, even pandemics. But unlike modern childbirth, there is no medication that can cover up the pain and no surgical procedure that can be scheduled to give us a predicted ending. In the last 2 years, we have been living in uncertain times with a pandemic that is still present, growing political polarization fueled by unhealthy forms of nationalism, continuing racial tensions, ongoing destruction of this planet and its atmosphere, and a war that we have been fighting for almost 2 decades. These are just the beginnings of the birth pangs. For the entirety of human history, there have been wars, natural disasters, diseases, and famines. These are just the beginnings of the birth pangs. These are the pains that will bring about a new creation, one that more closely resembles the world as God intended. And Jesus uses this imagery of the birth pangs as a reminder that what lies ahead is new life and new creation. A recognition that even in the chaos and grief that has come and is to come, there is hope that will lead to something new and wonderful. We are not in the last stages of death, even though it might feel like it sometimes. We are in the beginning stages of birth. And this is one reason that we read this lesson in Mark right before we get to the season of Advent. So to take us back a little bit, on a Sunday almost a year ago, the first 8 verses of the very first chapter of Mark was our gospel lesson for a Sunday. Unlike Matthew and Luke, there are no birth pangs for Mary, with a barn full of animals, shepherds, and angels witnessing a birth in Mark's gospel. For Mark, Jesus enters our story through his own baptism by John, with the extraordinary event of the heavens being torn apart, the Holy Spirit coming down to his side during this baptism, and the voice of God thundering from the heavens, making known to those present that Jesus is God's Son, the Beloved. From the beginning of Mark's description of Jesus' life and ministry, God has been bursting into our world in unexpected and unimaginable ways. We can think of ways which Jesus allowed outsiders to guide his ministry, like the Syrophoenician woman who helps him to see that his ministry is for all of humanity at all times, not just once the Jewish people have been ministered to. We have also seen the many ways in which Jesus shows that what is valued by humans is not what is valued by God. I think of the times that Jesus corrected the disciples when they were arguing over who was the best or who would get to sit at a place of honor. And this idea comes again loud and clear in today's readings as we hear the disciples marveling at the temple. Wow, Jesus! The stones, that building, wow, how amazing is that? And Jesus' very unexpected response, that temple may be great, but guess what? It's destructible. And even more, it will be destroyed. It will come tumbling down. And the unspoken and unanswered question is this: than what is indestructible. If I have been living into my call from God to proclaim the good news, you should be able to answer that what is indestructible is God's unfailing love and desire to reconcile all of creation. Said more directly, what is indestructible is God's promise to love you unconditionally for all of eternity. But the gospel lesson for today doesn't stop there. It starts there. And once that message is revealed, several of the disciples are like children in the back seat of a car asking, "Are we there yet? When are these things going to happen, Jesus? What are the signs to look for?" And as happens so often, Jesus does not have a direct answer. Instead, he warns them of war, famine, earthquakes, false prophets. And to explain a little about why that might be, I need to go back a couple of weeks. Because we celebrated Reformation and All Saints, and we heard the gospel texts that are associated with those festivals, we have missed the readings in Mark that show us the increasing tension in the relationship between Jesus and the officials of the temple. And even more so, an outward hostility that Jesus has toward the established religion. Just prior to the disciples' admiration of the temple was Jesus' reprimand of the scribes, whom he accused of basking in undeserved respect and stealing from widows. This talk is making Jesus less and less popular with those in power by the minute. Jesus knows, as he is talking to his disciples about the temple, that the end of his life is very near. That this is his last trip to Jerusalem. He knows that the life that lies ahead for his followers is not going to be easy if they continue to follow him. He understands that those who have been following him are going to feel great loss and great anxiety once he is killed. And in this anxiety, there will be the impulse to fill the void that Jesus' physical death leaves behind. So the words to his disciples are a warning to them to not fill that void with leaders who cannot save them, but instead, do not be alarmed. Keep sharing the word that Jesus is the Christ, and remember, God has not abandoned you. By continuing in Jesus' ministry, they will be living in God, and living in God will get them through the birth pangs and into a new creation. My friends, the birth pangs are not finished. We still live in a world where wars and famine and natural disasters are a constant. We still live in a world where those who are most vulnerable are exploited, and those who are most powerful are lifted up like false prophets. We still live in a world that is a very long way from looking like the new creation that awaits us on the other side of this birthing process. Mark and Jesus and even the realities of this world show us that no earthly establishment, be it a church, a government, skyscraper, or the illusion of health, is indestructible. What is indestructible is God's love for this amazingly imperfect world with amazingly flawed humans. Those imperfections and flaws lead to pain. And the only thing we can do is let the pain run its course, trusting that God travels that course with us. So now I'm going to invite you right now to take back out your bulletin and open it up. And open it to the psalm, which is the second page, third page, fourth page, sorry. All right, Psalm 16. And I want us to read again the very last three verses, all together, not responsively, but all together. So starting at verse 9, where it says, "My heart, I want us all to read those last three verses, but now with the message of this gospel fresh in our minds. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen.